GalaxyCon Live is the place for you to hear about fandom from the celebrities who bring geek culture to life.
Welcome, friends and fans, to another edition of GalaxyCon Live, where we are bringing the convention experience directly to you. And today, we are going back to Kansas and Metropolis with a cast of Smallville. So without further ado, let's look up in the sky and see who we find. Our first guest is an actress, writer, and producer whose roles include V-Wars, Ice, and of course, Bitten. Today, though, she joins us to talk about the role of Kara Kent, a.k.a. Kara Zor-El, a.k.a. Supergirl. Please welcome back Laura Vandervoort.
Hi.
Hey.
Thanks for having us back.
Oh, thanks for joining us again. How have you been?
I've been well. I had a bit of a move and, you know, just keeping busy. And it's weird to be first up here, so I don't know what to do.
No, it's good. It's just all a small talk, just so I like to check in with everybody and make sure they're doing okay in their part of the world. And yes, congratulations on the move.
Thank you. Part-time. Also the States, but yes.
Okay, just back and forth. Ooh, you're part of the jet set now. Congratulations. I don't even know if that's still a thing anymore, but there you go. Well, Laura, absolutely wonderful to have you back. Glad to have you in good health and in good spirit.
You as well.
Thank you. And next, he is a prolific actor whose amazing body of work includes, but absolutely not limited to, Batman, the animated series, Gremlins 2, and Fear the Walking Dead. Today, he joins us to discuss the role of industrialist and the occasional earthly form of both Jor-El and Darkseid, Lionel Luthor. Please welcome back everyone's friend, John Glover.
Howdy doody
to you too there, John. How you been?
I've been sort of nervous right now because I don't know how to work these computer machines and things. So I almost didn't get here.
That's okay. You don't got to push a button at this point. All we got to do is just talk.
Okay. I can do that.
All right. How you doing in your corner of the world?
It's New York. New York, New York. It's a wonderful town.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, you're a theater guy at heart. So, yeah, of course you'd be in New York, right?
Yeah. Well, but I'm making a movie right now.
Ooh. Hey. What are you making? Or are you not allowed to say?
I think I can. Have you ever seen those Purge movies?
Yes.
Well, this is written and directed by the guy that did them.
Oh.
James DeMonaco and Adam Kantor wrote it, and this guy named Pete Davidson is in it. He seems to be everywhere this day.
I've never heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
He's the kind of guy you've ever seen, yeah.
Awesome. Well, absolutely looking forward to that, because I'm a big fan, John. And again, everything you've done is absolutely fantastic. And once again, thanks for joining us again in our virtual forum.
I'm glad to be here.
Oh, always glad to have you. And next, she is an actress and director whose body of work includes Saving Hope, House of the Dead, and Supergirl. Today, we talk to her about the role of intrepid reporter Lois Lane. Please welcome back Erica Durrance.
Hi.
Erica.
Hey.
My body of work with House of the Dead was maybe one of my least favorite things. But what I will say is it got me my last credit to get in the union. So you do what you do.
Okay. All right. I will scratch that. You know what it is? I do the fandom stuff since we're a fandom show.
Yeah, I guess I would do. How about I not tell you how to do your job? Hi, everybody.
Erica, I got to agree. Sometimes they say credits and you're like, oh no, don't say that.
Oh, not that one.
Yeah. Erica, you direct now?
Yes, slowly. I am doing that.
So yeah. When are you going to hire me to work for you?
Well, when I get a job to direct.
Oh.
So, you know how it is in this business, and maybe it isn't for you, but like every time you go to a new group of people or a new studio or a new network, you have to be like, hi, I don't know if you know me, but I have worked in the business for a while. And then you have to reintroduce yourself and stuff. So I'm in that process now in the land of Lifetime and Hallmark.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I'm trying to do with them.
All right. Looking forward to one of the many Christmas offerings next year.
That's right. Well, now they're a machine. Like, they put out New Year, Spring Love, Summer Love. Like, it's all the time.
And it's a great gig. It's work, and work is work.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Erica, absolutely glad to have you back. Welcome, and well, thank you for joining us. And finally, he is an actor, director, and producer whose credits include Judging Amy, Lucifer, and Professionals. Today, he joins us to talk about the role of Clark Kent, a.k.a. The Blur. Please welcome back Tom Welling.
Yay!
I was wondering if I was going to be let into this. I love it when we talk about everybody getting... John's got a job in New York, and we're all like, ooh, what do you want? Is there a role for me? Erica, your director, can you hire me?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. John knows.
Tom, how are you doing in your part of the world?
I'm doing great, thanks. I'm happy to be here. I'm glad you guys could make it. I'm happy Rosamund's not here, and too bad John's busy.
Does that mean we can actually talk?
What's that?
About Rosenbaum here, we get to actually say things.
Well, yeah, he said he didn't want to do it so you could do all the talking.
There you go. Hey, Tom, real quick before we start, I just wanted to throw this out because we lost director Ivan Reitman recently and you got to work with him on Draft Day, a film that I think is very undervalued. I think it deserves more recognition than it's gotten. But I just wanted to say, yeah, what was that experience like working with Ivan?
He was like, I mean, I only worked with him on that film, but he was just such a warm angel, sort of knowledgeable, wise dude. Like, you knew he knew what he was doing, but he had this grace about how he was with everyone and everybody wanted to be around him and work with him. I saw that him and Kevin were definitely on the same page, which made me feel better about my own insecurities. But he was just like a really soulful, chill, smart guy. Yeah, I was sorry to hear that.
Yeah, indeed. Well, that being said, thank you for sharing that with me. And guests, welcome again back to the GalaxyCon virtual stage. Our team's going through the chat room right now, pulling out the questions for us. In the meantime, I'd just like to throw this out for each of you on your time on the Smallville set. So what would you say might have been the craziest day you experienced?
Oh, which one?
I remember one where I had to play a zombie. I had to get the zombie disease or whatever at some point, and that was really obnoxious. And I had to wear the like the contacts and then froth at the mouth and do all this stuff that, you know, it looks like it's cool, but when you're actually performing it, you're making all these weird sounds and it's like really quiet and it's just very uncomfortable. But then I somehow miraculously got healed, and then we had to chase and the zombies chase us up the stairs, you and I, Tom, and you had these like great kick-ass boots and I was running around in 4-inch heels trying to kick the zombies down the hill, and I was like secretly quite resentful of you.
Zombies in Smallville?
He's like, he's so comfortable. Why can't I speak up for myself?
Season 6, episode 3, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh.
No. Shut up. It was just one of the many times like, that something happened. But that is what was great about Smallville, right? Like, I mean, it's a little bit weird and uncomfortable, but you were also, I was never bored. Like, there was always some time that you were going to get red kryptonite or something else was going to happen to one of us. We would be possessed and get to do something different. So
I got to work with Rutger Hauer.
Oh yeah,
kind of thrilling. Yeah, we were I had a bunch of scenes with him and everything.
Was that after Smallville when he was, because he was on Smallville in the Luther Tower? I worked with him.
Well, I did too, Tom.
But no, but you're talking about on Smallville.
I think so. Is that his name?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it
was his name.
Yeah.
I hadn't been killed yet. I guess the craziest day was when one of the drivers came up to me and said, What do you think about them killing you this season? I said, what? He said, oh yeah, they're gonna kill you.
Oh my gosh.
That's how I found out.
Well, the Teamsters know everything first.
What they want? Oh yeah, they
the
do. Team,
because I think it's because they deliver this back then, they used to deliver the scripts. This is if you guys, I don't know if you remember, but it wasn't just like quick email blasts. No one really trusted the delivery. So they would knock on your door at 3 o'clock in the morning. There'd be a draft of the script, and who knows if they were outside reading it just before to see what happened.
Talking about it on the you know, when they drive around to find the location. Yeah. So they were talking about how I was going to get killed that year. So he decided he was going to tell me.
Wow.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
I'd rather know than not know.
Well, I guess, but I would have rather somebody else told me.
I wouldn't have told you. I wouldn't have had the guts to tell you if I knew.
Oh.
No way.
Well, oh dear.
I would have told your driver to tell you.
Of course.
I didn't have a driver. Oh, that was what Andro.
Oh man.
Yeah. Oh God. Laura.
Guys. But Rutger Hauer, he was an interesting cat.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I've heard. Oh boy.
What season did he do?
I don't know.
What season, Tom?
Well, I remember the episode because my stunt double, Chris Sayre, did this.
Oh, season 3.
Was it season 3?
Yeah, someone just wrote that.
Because they did a stunt on what's called a decelerator, which allows someone to jump off a building on a rope And as they fall, they free fall, and within 20 feet of the ground, it's supposed to stop them.
And it didn't?
No, and it, well, it did this time.
Oh.
But it was like a, I don't know, 200, like it was a 200 story building. I mean, it was the biggest building. You would think no one would ever do that. So it was that episode. My stunt double did it, but for another character. Maybe it was when Lionel was thrown off the building. Was that it?
That was season seven.
And that's probably it then. Yeah.
Yeah, something bit me.
Just now?
Yeah.
I bit you?
Swallowing. Oh, I was like, you did an episode where somebody bit you?
That's what I thought too. Was it called Bitten?
That was another show.
There's a show called Bitten. No, like something bit me. I'm having a weird reaction right now. So just
Do you remember when you were doing Bitten and we were both in Toronto and you were like, I hate it. It's so cold and it's nighttime. And I was like, yeah, you're a werewolf.
No, it was great for a while, Eric.
It's a doctor show and you're inside all the time.
Erica, Kristen, and I were all in the same city for a while working different shows, so it was really nice.
Yeah.
There you have it. What was the craziest day for you, Laura?
On Smallville. The first thing that comes to mind, and Tom knows, is when I passed out in my harness. That was a bit of a, no, that's a lie. That's not the craziest day.
But it did happen.
It did happen. Cut off my artery and I passed out, but I think the craziest day for me was probably like one of my first episodes where it was winter in Vancouver and they put me in a water tank in the parking lot to do this underwater.
Why did they try to drown all of us? They did.
They what?
They tried to drown all of us.
That's how they get rid of our characters. But when Supergirl saves Lex from the car crash and they had me just floating in suspended water in the parking lot and it was cold. So that was the most interesting experience, but the most memorable is probably passing out.
That would do it.
Yeah.
That would absolutely do it.
How long were you out?
Tom? I don't remember. I wasn't really.
No, it was like, she was warned. She was in a flying harness. She was 30.
I wasn't warned.
And she was warned by me that I said, if you're feeling uncomfortable, you know, say something before it gets worse because you're going to try to tough it out, but it's not worth it. They can put you down for 30 seconds and everything's fine. Yeah, I didn't say that. I'm pretty sure I said that. And then all of a sudden, Laura's like sitting there and I was like, you're right. You're right. And I had already gone down twice because I'm like, I don't need to stay up here if we're not filming. And she's like, I got it. I'm fine. And we get up there and all of a sudden she just kind of was like, whew. And then it was like, put her down, put her down, put her down. And by the time she got down to the bottom, she was just a little sort of out of it. But then she wanted to go right back into it. I mean, anybody who knows Laura knows she wants to get right back to it. So, and she did.
After they gave me oxygen.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. That's showbiz. We are going to go to audience questions. So let's go ahead and roll our first. And this one comes from Mark, who wants to know, if you could have any power seen on Smallville, which one would you choose?
Super speed. Oh, that was
true. Yeah. I mean, so much that I have to get done all the time. I'd really like to be able to super speed through it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I don't know if because you can super speed doesn't mean you can do things faster. You just get from point A to point B. You just don't have to deal with traffic.
Okay.
I think about it, flying might be great, but we didn't really fly on Smallville.
No.
I mean, I did.
Well, some of us didn't.
You didn't pass out.
Every time Kara left the ground, she passed out and came down like a chicken.
I would choose invisibility or flying.
There you go.
Yep.
It was one. You had to choose one.
Well, I'm choosing two.
John, would you do?
I would get a better brain because it's now harder for me to learn lines that I never remember having to learn lines. But when you're 77, you got some brains missing stuff, I think. So I'd like a refreshed brain.
You wanted like Brainiac, what Brainiac had.
Okay, just so I can learn the lines faster, like I used to be able, but like a youth I used to be, because I was one.
You still look like one, John.
Yeah, thank you.
I didn't know you were 77.
And by the way, there's no one in the history of mankind whose hair can grow faster than John. Like he's either shaved his head, or he's got long hair. And I don't know if you're a stylist or it's omega 3s or I don't know what it is.
Jeans, I think it's the.
Got great hair.
Yeah. What? Oh, brightener?
No, great hair. You've always had great hair.
Oh, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get up to you. Mine isn't as thick as it used to be, but I still got it. And when you got it, boom, 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 boom.
And there you have it. Mark, great question to start us off with. Thank you for that. And what's next? Here's one from Ida. Have you, any of you, received something from the set? Or I'll phrase it. Have you found yourself in possession of anything?
I was just in Vancouver last weekend. I saw Erica. We were doing a con up there, and someone gave me a copy of their almost like a wedding invitation, but it was pictures from their wedding, and they got married at the Kent Farm, and it was like very pretty. So that to me, that feels like a souvenir. And that was the sweet.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I stole stuff.
Did you? Anything good?
From different sets, so whatever. What are they going to do to me?
I remember I took one T-shirt. It was a really good one. It was a black one.
I have my Lois Lane plaque and my cup. All right. I just like a little klepto on the way out.
John, you didn't steal that black T-shirt. You forgot to take it off and then neglected to bring it back. That's not stealing.
I wardrobe a girl to get it for me. She said, promised never to tell anybody. It's really expensive.
T-shirt. I'm sure it's fine.
Okay. Oh, my. So Lois Lane.
I don't know if you've been down there, Tom, but I mean, it's probably not there anymore. But a couple of our outfits from there were in the museum at Warner Brothers for a while, which was kind of neat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm a big nerd. And I was like, look at that. It's in there. It was neat. We were on rotation for a moment.
That's cool.
Yeah, right?
No one told me about that.
Yeah, it was really neat.
I just like the fact that you got the Lois Lane plaque. That's a nice get.
Was Clark wearing the red jacket with the blue shirt or the blue jacket with the red shirt?
I don't remember. It certainly wasn't the blur jacket.
Oh, that's good.
Question.
That's good.
The blue blur. I can still say it.
The blur.
I had the easiest wardrobe on the show on purpose for a reason. Yeah.
But depending on what you wore, I always had to wear the opposite.
Color, yeah.
Did you resent that, Laura?
Did I?
Resent that?
No.
I'm looking to cause some trouble here.
I did resent the Daisy Duke shorts.
Oh.
I did not resent those on you, I have to say.
Oh, no, wait, I just saw a clip that somebody showed on the Instagram where you're hardly in anything.
That happened a lot in that show. Was that the bathing suit?
No, I don't know. You had a little bit on the top and a very little bit in the middle. And he said, you have to go change. Because I thought he was going to burn down the barn again or something because he was getting so... That was my favorite episode is when Snidey was teaching you how to deal with you get erect and everything, you know.
Oh my God.
I not have said that. I didn't mean
it wasn't hothead. That was something. I know what you mean. It was. Yeah.
Did he teach you how to light the fire?
Heat.
Maybe heat. Yeah. Yeah. It would heat. You did it once in school at the blackboard or something.
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah, that was my favorite. You know, it's sexual.
Oh, is it?
That on the air? Yeah.
Laura, do you have anything from Smallville?
I don't know if I can top that conversation. I stole my Kryptonian bracelet.
Oh, there'd be people showing up at your door.
And the back of my chair. I framed my Smallville.
Hey, me too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
In the basement.
Me, mine. Didn't they give you yours? Did they?
I stole one early, and then as a wrap gift, they framed another. So I have two.
Oh,
you know, that's a good point. What we should do now, when we go into other projects within a week, steal it, and be like, I don't know what happened. Then they give you another one.
Yeah, chair backs are fun. Those little things, and you kind of
and be like, guys, what happened to my chair? What are you guys? What kind of set are you running around here?
I mean, everything that I borrowed from the set, except for the back of my chair, I auctioned off to fund my film. So I don't have any of it anymore.
That's smart.
That's good.
I totally kept it. Good for you.
There you go. We got William Daniels on tomorrow, and he did the greatest burn out of anybody we've ever had answer this question, where at the end of the season, he would bring in all the clothes he didn't want anymore and switch them out with the character wardrobes from Boy Meets World. So he would get all these nice suits and just switch them on out with thrift store clothes that he had had, and just load them up in his car and just drive away at the end of the season.
Hoping they wouldn't notice because he replaced it?
Yeah, and they never did because they would always buy new ones.
Obviously, he got away with it a lot.
Yeah.
Well done, dude.
That's where Clark's wardrobe works against me.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not going in to buy a bunch of blue and red t-shirts and jackets.
One or two nice suits, that's it.
Yeah. There you go. Ida, great question. Thank you. What's next? Yeah. From Anthony, what has been your favorite merchandise of the show that you have seen over the years?
Merchandise. Oh, at a convention, I saw candles with our faces on them.
Oh, yes.
Holy candles where we were like angels or something.
Yeah.
Looked like Jesus, John.
Christmas presents.
John, you looked like Jesus in yours or white Jesus?
Yes, it was Jesus. It's got one upstairs.
A traditional white Jesus you look like.
Yeah.
That was cool. Weird and kind of cool, too.
Yeah, weird and cool. It's like you have it and then you don't know what to do with it. You're not
you pray to yourself.
Yeah, I have seen those at the shows. So they're fun. Yeah, they do them for all sorts of franchises. Yeah.
What about you guys?
I think I found a Lego Lois, which my kids liked a lot.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, an actual little Lego Lois.
My favorite one to see is when people show up with the Smallville High varsity jackets.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And more times than none, they don't fit anymore. They bought them when they were watching the show.
You just got a really cool jacket at a convention we were at.
And I'm
oh my god, there you are.
Hello.
I pray to you.
That's me saying, John, back up. Back up.
No, Tom, they, you were sharing this story about the jackets. I thought they made you put them on, and you're like, these don't.
Oh, no. I don't put on other people's jackets. They don't.
Well, I didn't think so, but I thought, well, maybe they wouldn't fit you from when you were 20.
Oh, my
lowest step definitely does not.
No way. No.
But Tom, at the last convention, I remember you got like a really, really cool jacket with patches on it. And do you remember?
Yeah, I have it. It's in my closet, actually.
It looks great on you.
It's not like a Smallville jacket. It's I forget the name of the company, but it's actually a legitimate like flight jacket, like a pilot jacket.
Yes. Bomber jacket.
I put all these awesome patches on it, and I was like, I guess I'm going to have to keep this because it's awesome. And then I'll auction it off for Laura's next film.
Thank you. I'm going to look at you that.
I'll do it.
All right.
Well, what I know, I bet you guys got this a lot too, is when people had been in the service and they would come through and they would talk to you about how they watched Smallville when they were on tour somewhere.
Yep.
So probably you guys all got little things that were, but somebody presented me with an American flag once.
I got a flag.
They flew it over there.
Yeah.
And I thought that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
You look suspicious, Tom.
Yeah.
Well, as a Canadian, what did you do with it, Erica?
I still have it.
That's nice. Is it folded, like in the triangle?
Yeah, it's still in the box.
I'm
American too, so like, I feel a little bit pride.
Right.
But you know, the stories, like, it's just really sweet when it's really special. I think those are some of the comments that I think I find the most special is people that say, oh, I was out doing that thing, and then we'd all come back and watch Smallville or something. That was cool.
I'm sure you guys have also met people who come to conventions and they actually learned English while watching Smallville. It was the first show they'd seen in English. I've met a few people that taught them. Yeah. So that's really, really neat to hear.
That is nice.
Are you like, yeah, but you haven't perfected your accent yet.
No, I'm like, I'm sorry. You have a dialogue to teach you how to speak English.
Oh, there you have it. Anthony, wonderful question. Thank you. What's next? Here's one from Jerry. Who on the cast do you think influenced or helped you the most?
Ooh. Huh.
I mean, I'm happy to talk first, but it very easily for me to say everyone because I did not know anything when I got there. And all I knew is I had to look around and like listen to people and watch how they were operating on and off the camera, whether they were like on time, not on time. I just tried to take everything from everybody. John, you're an easy one to pick because you're just...
You did me great. When you had to be me, I was so jealous of you because I couldn't do you. But you did me to perfection.
Well, I'd spent years just trying to pull things from everybody. So when I had to look at your character, I was like trying to pull things. Michael was a big thing. John Schneider was a huge influence. Annette, Erica, Laura, Kristen. Everybody to me was just, I was just like taking it in from everybody. So I can't pick one. I felt like every scene I had with every actor was just influential to Clark's development.
Fair.
Yeah. I was totally taking that literally and be like, Tom, because I used to bug you all the time when I got hired. Remember we talked about that? What does this mean? What does this mean?
Well, we also work together all the time.
And we work together all the time. But I have really great specific memories with each actor, like in the first one when I worked with John and you were in the jail and I was so nervous. And then it was like, there's just this ease with which you did everything that is like, I just kind of like fell into your tunnel of peace and you're super sexy. So that was just it was helpful. Remember you talked about it. You talked about it being part of, everybody has secrets and there's a lot of power in the sexuality and how you play certain things. I thought that was really interesting.
Oh yeah, I said that?
You did, yeah. It's awesome, right? And then Laura, I felt like I had found Kristen and I didn't get to work together too much, but you know, when in passing we got on quite well. We actually became better friends after work. But when you came, I was like, we're both the girls that have to do the things that the other girls are like, you should be more firm. And we're like, I'm going to put on my bikini now. So
you had been through all of that before me. So
the ones that have to fulfill that role. And so it was like, we bonded over the kind of
uncomfortableness of
doing that and passing the other girls and being like, yeah, you hold firm. And then we would stand in our skivvies, whatever. Part of life. We bonded over that, I felt.
For sure. And like you said, I think the three of us, women, Kristen and you and I, bonded more after the show.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, I came on so late. I've said this before that I was terrified. Like, you guys were already this group and I was like the new kid and I didn't think anyone would like me. I thought I'd get fired. I'd seen the show, I was a fan. But everyone was really welcoming. And working with Tom, like I had to feed off of him because I didn't know how certain words were even pronounced in the Kryptonian world and how we stand. And he told me about the camera angle to make us look more heroic. And he was really, really, you were great, Tom, guiding me through all of that at the beginning. And Erica, same thing. Like, John, we didn't get to work together really much at all, except for that.
Wasn't I dead by the time you got there?
Season 7?
That was when I got it.
That's when you got it?
Yeah, well, Lex, he pushed me out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I suggested that he kill me. I thought it would make him a good Lexer, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sad I didn't get to work with a lot of the cast. So.
Well, so one of the things that I was thinking about today, because I thought this question might come up, is I loved, as someone who, you know, I watched every episode, because I was a producer and director, so there were notes on edit. So I never, I'm not saying I saw the finished episode of each, but I saw everyone's scenes. And it was always fun to see, you know, I had scenes with everybody and then like, you know, Lex and Lionel and, you know, that kind of stuff. But when it was like Lionel and Martha or Jonathan and Lex, where it was like a complete cross and all this energy would come into these scenes that the audience knew about, but the characters didn't. I did think those were always like really cool. It'd be interesting because I don't recall a scene that Lionel and Kara had, but I can see Lionel just sort of stopping on the street and being like, who are you? Like just somehow feeling that there was something special. That I could see that. Yeah.
We should introduce characters that were never introduced on the show.
Well, as you guys all know, we're trying to do this animated thing that looks like it's going to happen. And so, you know, we'll be open. That'd be fun.
Yeah,
really fun.
Very nice.
By the way, Michael and I just assume everybody's on board.
Yes.
If anyone's not, that's fine too. But like, we all get... you know, Erica's like, I'm not doing that actually.
Let's do it. It'd be fun. Yeah.
Of course, I'd love to.
Could be fun.
If I survive this bite.
Well, I think that's going to be the end of you.
Oh,
I told you that's a very like wow. I grew up in my church and I saw a lot of those pictures kind of like that.
You would pray to me, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Were they that handsome?
Always do.
That is handsome.
I just line up my Smallville candles every night and pray to all of them. Wait for a new job.
I pray that this bite on my arm way.
You can please help me sell this couch.
On my couch. I hope I survived the bite. That's all we need to know from this.
Yeah, anybody who picks up the couch can find out whether or not Laura has survived. Her couch is for sale.
Yes.
Which money goes to Tom, right? No. No.
And then I'll donate to the next film.
Wow, but he just ends up getting these percentages still. Random percentage for my shoe sale.
I'm here to help.
John, when you got to the set of Smallville, did anyone help you, help show you the ropes on that set?
Show me? No.
No. It's too awesome. John is just...
I know.
Somebody dropped out and I got the call from my agent and said they're doing this thing about Superman and Clark Kent in school, and the guy they wanted backed out or dropped out or got a mother job, and so they're offering it to you and they may have you back a couple of times.
Yeah, I know that Lionel wasn't supposed to be there as I mean I didn't know at the time. But it's a fact that he wasn't supposed to be around that much. And then John came in and everybody's like, we need this guy around. I mean, he's just.
I was most grateful. I felt very, that made me feel good.
That other guy's like, I didn't know that character's going to last 7 seasons.
I don't know who it was.
But it might not have lasted that long with the
I'll
other
find actor. Out.
It might not have lasted that long with the other actor. When John came on, they were probably like, holy.
That's true.
We got to keep this guy.
Breakout character, breakout actor. This is what it is. Jerry, great question. Thank you for that. And let's roll another one. And here's one from Nancy. If you could, what words of wisdom would you give your younger selves who are just starting out in their careers?
Do it. Do it whenever you can. You can learn from, well, I learned on the stage and you learn a lot from an audience. So I was always scared to go to acting school because I thought they'd laugh at me or something. I don't know, with fellow actors. So I just got as many jobs as I could and worked all the time and learned from doing, like, I guess what Tom did.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. I was just trying to get a job. Yeah. And it turned out the one that stuck was I actually find myself trying to remind myself of that now. When I'm trying to get work and that thing that comes in of like, I don't know if that's for me. Or next thing you know, it's, you know, years can go by. You got to remind yourself. I wouldn't tell my younger self anything because whatever I did back then worked for it. And I think I would probably give myself bad advice now in as far as Smallville goes. There's other things I would give some advice about.
I would give
some other insight, but yes. But John, no, that's actually brilliant. That idea of like, and a lot of times, I don't know if you guys have found this, but I can kind of sense it, like agents and managers and our lawyers and all these people, what they're secretly saying is just keep working. Because even the one you choose that you think is going to be a hit, there's no chance that you don't know. You have no idea.
Yep,
just keep working.
Yep. Work it. Go for the challenge.
Yeah.
They're the best ones when you think, oh, God, I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's good. And you think, well, okay, all right. But I'll do it and do it the best I can and give it my all. And many times they're the best. Yeah, because you work the hardest.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that thing of not knowing if it's good or not. You're just going for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Working. I'm a work actor.
You guys rock that answer.
Oh.
Erica, what advice would you give a younger self?
You know what I was going to say right away? I was going to say, I'd probably tell my younger self, like, don't be so hard on yourself, or you've got this, or breathe, or trust yourself. But then again, you grow into certain things. And so then maybe the character would have shifted. Like, the thing that I kind of despised about myself ended up being, you know, as Thomas said before, like, it kind of ended up being part of Lois's neuroses, which actually ended up working. So then
I meant that as a positive compliment. Yes.
But yeah. And I, it's just maybe me being overly complicated and overcomplicating things worked in that moment.
Well, the quick example I have is Erica would come in and she would be so, like, ready to go. And that did transport over to Lois. And she would sort of, it would seem as though she was searching for her words at time when I knew for a fact that she knew her lines. And then they started writing her dialogue with, like, dot, 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 and ellipses, and trying to stagger where the sort of skips were. And I remember you coming in and you're like, what is this shit? Why are all these dots here? She goes, I can do that myself. I can fuck up my dialogue all by myself. And I remember there was a conversation and it stopped. I think you said, I will fuck up my dialogue all by myself. You don't have to write it.
I did.
And it was brilliant.
I did.
Tom, there may be some younger people.
Oh, excuse me.
Who haven't learned to use that word quite yet.
But that was part of the problem, that younger version of myself. I'm a bit nicer inside my head. The younger version of myself is, if I did mess up on set, I'm like, you fucking idiot. Mm-hmm. Like, I was rage, full on rage. Like, you got this job, they paid you to do this, and now they're all sitting there and waiting. And I was like, you know, way too intense. I know I'm intense now, but. Like, I was.
But honestly, that's not a bad thing. It shows that you care. You took your job seriously. When we're not nervous, when we don't care, that's when you need to be concerned.
But I think you have to find a balance before that becomes way too self-involved.
Yeah.
And like John said, we have to stop saying the F word. And on this.
Right. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. I forgive you. I'm in the.
If we had children, we'd know this.
I'm the same motherfucker.
Yes. We have been forgiven. Laura, bring us home. What would you advice would you give to your younger self?
Well, my immediate thought is don't do it. But
everything that you go, no, don't do
everything.
It.
Everything, don't
I
do
don't
it.
Want job.
Oh, Laura, honest to God, honest to Jesus, Tom Candle.
What would you have done?
I would tell myself to have more fun. I took it so seriously. I started when I was 13 and it was a job. I wanted to be like the adults. I wanted to be memorized and perfect and, like, have everyone like me, which I think a lot of young women also relate to. And then you get to the age I'm at now.
That's how they coach young people, like young actors. Yeah. That's, they teach you, everybody has to like you or you're bad.
Yeah.
Which is not fair.
It was very militant. Especially in Canada, you have to be off book. You have to be polite. You know, all the things that children should be, but I missed out on having so much fun as a kid. Even on Smallville, you know, I think it right after Smallville, I went, wait a minute, I'm not having fun. It's okay to laugh on set. Like, no one's going to fire you. You can joke around, you know, and I saw you guys were very light in between scenes and that taught me it was okay. So I would tell myself to just chill the F out and enjoy the
We all stare in our heads.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think, and looking back, I think that, I mean, it's easy to look back. I there was very little that I enjoyed about the experience. And when there could have been, if I had had the older or wiser perspective, and, you know, yeah. Michael had a pretty good perspective on it. He's like, if you're not having fun and getting the job done, then what are you doing? You know, John is obviously very much a professional, but he was still having fun.
Like, yeah, but I would just see,
this, like, dread wasn't there. This, like, just like self, like, punishment all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also for you, Tom, you could see, like, you had so much dialogue in every scene. Like, there's no rest.
No.
For you to just go, I can have fun today, because you're already thinking about the next day. And
yeah.
So just trying to slow that down.
My favorite was when, like, actors would come to set and they'd be like, oh my God, I had such a great time this weekend. I did this. And then we went, and I'd just be like, uh-huh. And then they'd come in for their scene and they'd go to leave and, like, oh my God, thank God, because I'm finally going to be able to go meet so-and-so. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go do another scene. But like, or two. But that's the job. I mean, I get it. What, like, when I was on a show, Lucifer, for a season, I had so much fun on that show because I had so much more perspective that you can get the work done and have fun. And it doesn't need to be the end of the world, any of it. It's not. It's a TV show. It's a movie. I read this article where Keanu Reeves, they were like, isn't it tough making a movie? And he laughed and he goes, it's a movie. Like, have some perspective here. You know, be professional and get it done. But I was like, yeah, I wish I had sort of known that a little bit more. But I enjoyed working, you know, with you guys. What, everything was great about it. And it was still, you know, that's how it goes.
Right on. That's, I guess. Nancy, great question. Thank you. I think we have time for one more. Let's see if we can go out on a really fun one. And this is going to come from Niles. If you were all in a band, what would that band's name be?
We need Michael in the band together.
Yes.
Where's Michael?
Something about no flight, something.
Maybe the Michaelettes.
No.
I think we all are. Michael would be the one to name it. That's for sure.
Yeah, sure.
Well, the Candles, maybe the Saints of Smallville.
Oh,
Jesus, that's not bad.
Yeah. And it would be like a heavy metal goth thing, like we the Saints
or Smallville Saints, maybe
Teetville something.
And our video would be like walking out of Crater Lake, like all muddy and like playing music. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Like it.
Yeah, dripping mud.
Black metal band. All right, there you have it. Niles, great question. And GalaxyCon viewers, this has been my time with the cast of Smallville and Smallville Saints. And guys, it's been an absolutely wonderful. Any final words before we take our leave?
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Nice to see you.
Thank you guys for being here. Thanks for people to watch it. It's always great seeing all you guys. I think that's one of the best things about Smallville. And I know that while we were shooting it, we were all sort of crossing so quickly, but I think we've all actually got more of a relationship after the fact. And I think that's really cool. I always love seeing you guys.
It's swell.
It's okay swell. Seeing you.
Absolutely swell.
It has been my absolute pleasure to host you all. Once again, thank you for joining us here on the GalaxyCon virtual stage. Thank you to our audience for joining us. And as always, thank you for your great questions. Hope to see everybody again soon. Until then, bye-bye. Take care. And remember, smiles are free, so spend them often.
Bye.
Bye.